As the go-to media outlet for Southern California progressive thinkers since 1959, KPFK is very proud of its legacy. But maintaining that legacy can be expensive. Become part of the KPFK community today by donating at kpfk.org. Just click on the Support KPFK button on the website to send your gift today. Because while ignorance can be costly, speaking truth to power is priceless.
90.7 KPFK, Los Angeles. From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is the Car Show, broadcasting this week and every week here on KPFK 90.7 FM for over 50 years. We are hoping that you guys are all safe and sound out there. And those of you who suffered some losses in the last fires, we hope that you see this as sort of a safe refuge to come and talk about, listen to your favorite topic, and that is the car, because it's the Car Show. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. Go read all my stories on AutoWeek.com. Click on them and put a nice comment on there for once. I will be here for the next hour, along with my co-host. I am joined with, this week and every week, a radio veteran, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a practicing attorney, a member of the Motor Press Guild. This goes on and on. Let's just say her name, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Great to be back with you again this week to talk about cars and all the things happening in Southern California.
And there are a lot of things happening. If you run out of things, because we can't get everything here for you, if you want to find out something to do, if you're just dying to go out and see some kind of car event, a good website in for Southern California is called SoCalCarCulture.com. Every rod run, cruise in, hot rod thing is there, and there will be something in your neck of the woods, and it will be going on. Now, the next big thing, the Grand National Roadster Show. Last week, we were lucky enough to have John Buck, who owns the show, on the car show last week. He told us a lot about it. Michelle, you think you're going to go out to that? I know I'm going out to it.
I'm not 100% sure yet. I might have some things. Yeah.
I'll be there Sunday. So like Sunday afternoon on into the night, because they start awarding the awards. Uh-huh. They have more trophies out there, and it's not participation trophies, although it's bordering on that. But just almost everybody who goes there gets some kind of trophy. So that takes a while. And then they announce the winner of America's Most Beautiful Roadster, which if you're a hot rodder, that is the holy grail of hot rodding. And they do that. So it used to be like 8 or 9 o'clock at night on Sunday night, and it's been moving up every year. And so if you get there, you know, hang around and see that. That's always fun. See the guy who wins and everybody, they go stand, they put the 9 foot tall trophy right next to the hot rod that wins. It's kind of fun. The granddaddy of them all, the Grand National Roadster Show, of course, is at the Fairplex in Pomona. It's going on today and tomorrow. Over 500 show vehicles will compete for awards, and another 400 to 800 will join the event each day for the drive-in. It's going to be a good time. Tickets are $40 at rodshows.com, or you can go to O'Reilly Auto Parts and get a discount. We're not getting a nickel from O'Reilly. We're not getting a nickel from anybody.
Nobody pays us a dime.
Yeah. Hey, we're not on a take, man. Nope. They can't buy us because we're not for sale.
Because we can say whatever we want if they don't pay us.
And they also, nobody's offering us any money. So anyway.
Hey, shh.
All right. Another thing going on right now, King of the Hammers is starting, let's see, that starts January 31st. It started January 31st, runs through February 8th out at Johnson Valley, which is in the high desert north of Big Bear. If you fly your airplane over Big Bear and then go down into the desert, that's where Johnson Valley is, just on the north side of that. Those are crazy vehicles. They are meant for crawling over rocks the size of Volkswagens. We're going to be talking about Volkswagens later in this show, but this is a different way of getting over any terrain. King of the Hammers, they start out with the motorcycles. They work their way into the four-wheel vehicles. Check it out at kingofthehammers.com. That's always fun. Michelle, we got stuff going on in your neck of the woods.
We do. Guess what? Seagram Shelby Event Center. Oops, I goofed it. Is having their Cars and Coffee on tomorrow morning from 7:30 to 9:30 down here at Irvine at 5 Watney, right next to Hillbank Motors. And they do this rain or shine. So it should be good weather, but if it's not, they still have it anyway. They keep tents up there to keep the cars and the coffee really nice and safe. So whatever you have, go ahead and bring it. They don't have to have Mustangs or Shelbys or anything American. You can bring whatever you want. So I bring my Mazda, and it's
well,
okay.
Well, that was once owned by Ford.
Yes, true, for a while. Yeah. So
you're going to be there, Michelle?
I might. Okay. I'm not sure quite yet, but I might. Yeah.
All right.
And then the other thing going on is in Signal Hill, actually, not Orange County. That's near Long Beach, right? Off the 405.
Right.
Bayside Cars and Coffee is happening tomorrow morning also from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And this is at All Import Motors and Service at 2831 Junipero Avenue in Signal Hill.
Isn't it Junipero?
No.
Neither one of us speaks Spanish.
Junipero.
All right. We apologize to anybody offended by that. There'll be more offensive things said throughout the hour. So brace yourself.
Yes. It only gets worse.
It only gets worse, but not in the car world because we're going up the coast, Michelle. What do we have?
Oh, yes. Also, I forgot. The Redondo Beach meet, it's called Zuma Cars and Coffee, but it's not in Zuma.
We talked about this last week. It makes no sense that Zuma Beach is up by Malibu and Zuma Cars and Coffee is in Redondo Beach. We got to let's send our investigative team to find out what the heck these people were thinking.
Right. That's the one I might end up at just to figure it out. But it's at 9 o'clock. It's at 245 North Harbor Drive in Redondo Beach.
Is that by the pier? It's on the north side of the pier, that big parking lot.
That is at the pier.
By Captain Kidd's Fish Market, my favorite restaurant in the world.
Ah,
that's where the Mark Vaughn 65th birthday party was held. A little bit of trivia for those of you keeping track.
All the way in the South Bay.
All the way in the South Bay. Yeah. Okay. And now we always throw in something that there's no way you're going to be able to attend, but it's really cool. And this week, the thing that you want to get ready for, zut alors, we say, Retromobile in Paris. You can fire up the business jet. You can get over there. How much is gas in a business jet to get to Paris from LAX? It's probably about $40,000. This will be worth it.
No, you shouldn't do it.
It's worth it. It's at the Paris Expo Porte de Versailles. It has been, I don't know how many years it's been going on. But it's, and I've never been to it, but I've written about it every year for like the last 10 years or so. It's like a big swap meet. It's like a high class indoor French themed swap meet. It has all kinds of cool stuff. It's in the same location where they hold the Paris Auto Show, Paris Motor Show, every year, or what's left of the Paris Motor Show. You can get to it on the metro. It's easy to get to, easy to get out of. It's really cool. I had hoped that I would be able to get there this year. I hope every year. I was even trying to Nissan Renault, when they were still a deal, I was sucking up to the PR people in Paris really well, you know, conjugating verbs, and it didn't work, and they're not flying me out. So I don't know if I'll ever get there, but it's what they say is come and travel back in time or indulge your passion, dream, be thrilled. Get informed, invest, meet artists, manufacturer, clubs, federations, sellers of spare parts and miniatures, restorers, car dealers, anything goes at Retromobile. So, if you can be in Paris February 5th to 9th, definitely check that out. How many more events can we afford to do here, Michelle?
Well, we got about 13 minutes.
Okay. So we got a few.
We could do a few
more. What is coming up? Is Valentine's Day, and there's nothing your spouse will like better than going on a hot rod cruise, right?
Absolutely. You got to get down here, though. You got to start off in Irvine.
We're back.
And it starts off at the Seagram Center. Yeah, down here. And you'll get to hit three different museums. So you'll start at Seagram for your cars and coffee at 7:30. Then you and your honey cruise to the Marconi in Tustin. And you get a snack, And then after that, you cruise up to the Lyons Automobile Museum. And that's where you get lunch.
That's great. This is called the Lyons Automobilia Three Museums Couples Cruise. And it takes place Saturday, February 15th. And as Michelle said, it sounds like a great itinerary, right?
And all that for $60. That's it.
$60. It's a bargain. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper than going to Retromobile.
Yeah. And that's per person, not per car, FYI. If you would like to register, go to lionautomobilia.org/events.
Oh, it's $60 a person.
Mm-hmm.
That better be a heck of a lunch.
Oh, please.
Okay. Oh, and our buddies at Honda are doing another Cars, Bikes, and Coffee Saturday, February 15th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at American Honda Collection Hall. And they have they're calling it a rugged theme this year. Michelle, you put this together, didn't you? This item. Sorry, I'm stepping on your event.
Our friend Carl Pulley from Honda sent me.
It's worth going just to hear him speak with that British accent.
Yes,
Carl Pulley. Yeah, right.
Cheerio. Go to the car park. I love that. So guess what? They are setting up a track, and they will have people taking anyone who wants to for a ride on their track in the all new Honda Passport. And other Honda Trail Sport models. So there you go. You want to ride some little off-road track? You go.
I wonder how steep that'll be.
Good question.
Have you ever been to that thing that Jeep sets up at the car shows?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
That is amazing.
And that's wild. Up,
it feels like, was it 45 degrees or 40 degrees or something? It feels like the whole thing's going to tip over backwards. And it never does.
No, I like to hear the people screaming, you know?
Kind of quote that, taken out of context, could come back to bite you.
But it won't, right? Because like everyone's going to listen to the whole show.
All right.
Also,
pretty good.
They'll have free coffee there. They'll have food trucks. They're going to have a DJ. They have an on-site cafe. And the collection hall will be open. So
it's like a museum.
Yes. If you want more info, you can go check out HondaCollectionHall.com before the day of the event.
That's right. Saturday, February 15th from 9 to 1. And the address is 1919 Torrance Boulevard. Enter off of Harper's Way to Main Street. Thank you for that, Michelle.
Thank you for Carl for sending us all this.
Yeah, Carl Pulley. I just want to call him up and just say, Carl, just talk for 10 minutes.
Well, you should have him on the show.
We have had him on the show. He's great. How come? Now, you can answer this. How come ladies here go crazy for a guy who speaks like that? And we go to England and it doesn't work.
Yeah, I know.
That ain't right, man. That ain't right.
Sorry.
Hey, y'all. Hey.
Hey, howdy.
How come you're driving like that on that other side? All right. Like, another exhibit. Another exhibit coming up at the Peterson. I was just at the Peterson Cruise Inn last Sunday. They raised, you know how much money they raised for various fire causes, fire-related causes?
Would I hear a couple hundred thousand?
With a cruise-in, they raised $140,000.
Nice.
You know, I didn't ask to see the books or anything, but, you know, even if they're exaggerating, that's a lot of dough. It's going to, I don't have them in front of me, but good causes, you know, I think the Firemen's Fund and the police, and then there's the LA Food Bank is one of the beneficiaries of that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I saw that. The Peterson is having a new exhibit coming up called People's Champ, The Impact of Ken Block. That's opening February 15th. So Ken Block, everybody loves him. Everybody watched all those videos he did where he's drifting around all over Southern California. Great guy. Unfortunately, we lost Ken Block. What is it? A couple of years ago now. And they are going to celebrate him in a new exhibit opening February 15th. So not this weekend. If you go there, you'll still see a bunch of stuff, but you won't see this new exhibit. You'll see, for instance, the lowriders. I went through the museum last Sunday when I was there. You can see the lowrider exhibit is just exquisite. I mean, it's like you fell into... You know, on Pirates of the Caribbean, they got that treasure chest with all the sparkling diamonds and golden. It's like that when you go into that room full of lowriders. And then there's stuff on all the floors. It's a great place to go. So anyway, Ken Block exhibit opening at the Peterson, February 15th. This other one, way out in the desert, there's something called the Dr. George Charity Car Show. Now, that is
Dr. George. I remember Dr. George. Sure.
It's not Dr. George Fishbeck.
No,
it's another guy. It's a doctor who was out there in the Palm Springs area, and that's where this takes place.
Okay.
The Dr. George Charity Car Show is February 8th, celebrating its 23rd anniversary as the oldest car show in the Coachella Valley. How many car shows are in the Coachella Valley? It's like I'm the greatest writer in, you know, on my block, maybe. Well, probably not. There's a couple other kids who seem to be doing well in school. A car show in Coachella Valley and one of the longest one-day shows in California. They are promising over 1,000, and they say, eye-popping vehicles. Again, they can't say that unless your eyes actually pop out, so they got to be good. 18 acres of grass at the Indian Wells Tennis Garden. The date and time is Saturday, February 8th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Parking's $15, admission's $15. Free for kids under 12 with a paying adult. So you can't just drop the kids off and release them in there. Free for active military. That's kind of cool. You know, there's a big car community out there in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, yes. Coachella, all those places. So
yes.
Indian Wells Tennis Garden in Coachella. So dedicated to the memory of Dr. Sebastian George, a nationally renowned oncologist and co-founder of the Desert Cancer Foundation, who passed away in 2002. He will be remembered on this lovely, wonderful car show. So hey, maybe we should go out to that too. February 8th, am I in town? I don't know.
Right, February in Palm Springs. What could be nicer?
So much going on. What could be nicer?
Yeah.
We already talked about one Paris. Michelle, you have another Paris for us.
The other Paris, yes.
That's how it's known.
Paris, the one in California, Perris. Out in Riverside County, the Paris Auto Speedway is kicking into gear on February 15th with their season opener. That night, they have the USAC CRA Sprint Cars on the menu, and they will have several different categories, not just the regular ones, but they also have a couple of series that are unique to Paris, which is the Young Guns, which are kids, usually teenagers, who are kind of like rookies in the sprint car. They don't want them competing against the big shots. So they have their own little series. And then they have one for the seniors. So if you're over 55, you can race your sprint car series against other seniors. That's where I come in.
How about if you're over 65?
You can go in the senior sprints. You're good. And there are some that are over 65. Yes.
All righty. Mm-hmm. All right, good. All right, well, that's all we got time for. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah, I was just going to give the website.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sure, parisautospeedway.com if you want to get your tickets ahead of time, or you can get them at the gate.
So you can go to Paris or Paris. That you get everything, both ends of the spectrum here. All right, speaking of the spectrum, I don't know if that counts as a conversation. We have a very special guest here today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever thought, gosh, I could build an electric car. I'll just, you know, I swapped a K20 into my Honda, or, you know, I put a small block Chevy into whatever. It's got to be the same thing with an electric car. Turns out it's not. It's very complicated. And to tell us more about electric cars and making cool cars to run on electricity, we welcome our guest co-founder of Z-Electric in La Jolla, David Bernardo. David, welcome to the car show.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
David is, you've probably seen him around at car shows for many years. He always often brings that really cool Type 2, the split window Volkswagen van, which is one of their conversions. I was lucky enough last week. I got all the way down there and I got to drive. They have a 911, well, actually it's a 912 that they converted to electricity. I had a blast driving that thing. I would love to buy one. I think I'm going to sell the house or maybe one of the kids and whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sell the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. David, how did you get into this? So you seem more like a guitarist or something, a poet. And here you are doing this very complicated conversion. How did you get into that?
Well, I'm not the guy that's hooking all the wires up together. I just had the crazy idea that I needed to have a classic car that was powered by electricity. And it turns out they go faster than we thought, and they're a lot of fun. But I mean, probably 25 years ago or more, VW promised us a new microbus, you know, after they did the new Beetle. And, you know, I just thought that would be so cool. That planted the seed. And I think it was about 15 years ago, Volkswagen came out with a really cool vehicle concept called the Chameleon. And I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but what they did.
They
took a 1965 VW bus, and they had a group of engineers in, I think they're up in Northern California. I don't think they're there anymore. But they just let them have their way with a 65 split window VW bus and make it electric. They had surfboards with solar panels on the top. They had a touch screen speedometer interface. And this was right about the time the iPods came out. Remember the ones with the little click wheel that you touched?
Right.
So it had all this cool technology. And
you saw this and that inspired you?
No, I don't think anybody saw it, but I mean, there was an AI back then. So of course it was real. But they took it to a few shows and I'll send you some images on it. You can Google it, the Chameleon Project from Volkswagen. There's some pictures of it, but the bus that they had was a 65 VW bus. It's the same bus that I had at the time. So that planted the seed, like, can we take this wonderful vehicle and make it electric? VW did. How hard could it be?
Right.
Well, that, right.
And what did you find?
that seed lay dormant, you know, for, well, really just for about 5 years, because we started about 12 years ago. And, but I really wanted an electric bus. At the time we were living on the East Coast, and I reached out to the people in that neck of the woods, and nobody could imagine nobody shared my passion that I had with this stupid idea. So it couldn't get up off the ground. It wasn't until we came back to San Diego a few years later, and where I grew up in California. My wife grew up in San Diego. I grew up in San Francisco. So we came back out here and we thought, let's start snapping up some old Volkswagens and let's just, you know, make them look better, run better, and, you know, start a car company where we can, you know, kind of play matchmaker and find the good Volkswagens with people that we've met along the way that liked them and restore them. So I took that idea one step further and thought maybe at the same time we can make them electric. How hard could that be?
And what did you find? Well, piece of cake, right? Piece of cake.
Well, we teamed up with a company down here called EV West. They're really known for, at the time, they had a car that won the Pikes Peak Challenge. It was, I mean, I think they held the record for a, you know, electric converted car going up the mountain there for years. But they were just in the business of selling, you know, parts to, and they still do this, of course, they sell parts for dudes in their garage that want to, you know, convert their car with a buddy over the summer.
But is that doesn't sound safe to me. Just letting the average person do that. I mean, you can't do that. It took you guys a lot of time to figure this out.
How many car fires have you put out, Mark?
Car fires?
Yeah.
I think I did put one out.
Yeah.
I had a fire extinguisher. I always carry a fire extinguisher in my Volkswagen van, actually.
I know. They make you, to go to any of these car shows, they make you carry, have a fire extinguisher.
That's right.
We lost out on an award once because our converted car did not have a fire extinguisher. And we're like, well, we don't, what do we need it for? Anyway, that's okay.
That's the Buffalo Bills complaining about the refs, you know. You got to move on.
Anyway, so, we talk, my background is design. It's not engineering. I come up with crazy ideas. I look for new ways to do fun things with old, you know, with old, old cars and other old things. So we talked with them about figuring out the engineering for, a 1963 Beetle. We want to make it electric. We want it to go about 100 miles. And I don't care if it goes fast or not. I just want to, I want to have something more dependable. So that really got the wheels rolling quite literally. And
now that, one advantage of Volkswagen, the electric motor, it bolts onto that transmission, that differential, not bell housing. Maybe it is a bell housing. I mean, a lot of electric motors just kind of almost bolt right onto that, right?
They do. There is a big chunk of aluminum. That's where the engineering came into play, you know, to mate the electric motor to a stock VW transmission. And it fits, Mark, it fits in there perfectly. There's maybe half an inch wiggle room. So it was really meant to be. And, you know, we don't do anything to cut the cars up because we are dealing with classic cars. We don't want to ruin that VIN number. So we don't modify them, make any permanent modifications. These cars can go back to gasoline if somebody wants to do that. It's really to preserve the, you know, the VIN number on the car, but it's out of respect to the car as well. So.
So you get this this stuff from EV West, and you're able to figure out how to apply that to the cars that you're doing. Now, I noticed most of your cars are Volkswagens and Porsches. Is that because it is a lot easier to attach an electric motor to that drivetrain?
Not really. That didn't hurt, but it is pretty straightforward. But really, it's the car that we grew up with, the car that we love, the car that we take to car shows. And there's an enormous group of people that are creatives that are building all kinds of cool components for people to customize these cars. So there's really, it's allowed a lot of them to stay on the road when maybe they should have been retired a ways back. But yeah, there's a lot of mechanics. You know, there's a huge aftermarket marketplace for the cars, and they're lightweight and they're lovable. And everybody has, even if you didn't grow up with a Volkswagen, everybody has a VW story from their uncle or, you know, their teacher or whatever. So
you guys specialize in Volkswagens and Porsches. And at Z Electric down there in La Jolla, that's what you do. You don't do anything else, right?
Nope. We are working with a 50-year-old little car. So if we were to entertain the idea of doing other marks, we would have to learn some new tricks. So we're just sticking with the VWs and Porsches, and we kind of have that figured out.
Would that include a Karmann Ghia?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
The Karmann Ghia.
There's one down there in the shop.
Yeah, we've done it. We have a few videos on our YouTube. I'm sorry, that's my dog.
He likes the idea of the Karmann Ghia going electric.
That's snuck into my office.
He's Karmann Ghia. He's a Karmann Ghia fan.
Yeah, right. You might have seen Percy at car shows. He's been at Pebble Beach. He's been in the Peterson Museum. He gets around.
Oh, good boy. Yes.
So where can people find out more information about Z Electric I assume that your website is zelectric.com.
Zelectric.com.
Zelectric.
We've trademarked the word Zelectric.
Nice. You
have
Zelectric to.
Everywhere.
All right. You had a good lawyer. So that's great.
And what does it cost? Say I have a 911. Are there specific models of 911 or specific years of Volkswagen Beetles and Bugs? What do people need?
We work with the models between 1960 and 1980 for the most part. And for the Porsches, we like to use a Tesla motor because it's a sports car. And that motor can get us up to, 300, 400, 500 horsepower. So those builds start around 100 grand. No, they start at 98,000, not including the car. So it's not for the faint of heart. It's a good amount of money involved, but that really hasn't stopped anyone. We have a 2-year waiting list.
Cool. What's the range that you get now? You said earlier you used to, started off with 100 was cool. Is it still around 100?
Yeah, it's still around 100. How about that?
All right. Okay.
We have a small car, so we have a small battery pack. We don't want to cut the car up for a bigger battery pack. And it works fine. These are fair weather vehicles. They're not commuter vehicles, although we do have a couple of people that drive them as often as they can. And I love that. We have some collectors who don't drive them at all.
There you go. I love it that you still can keep the stick.
Yes, you can until you put the Tesla motor in there, and then there's no need for the stick because it's direct drive, one speed, and that's sacrilege for some people who find out about what we're doing. But we have a number of our clients like that idea because then they can drive a classic sports car that they haven't been able to because of an injury or something like that. So it makes it more accessible. So that's kind of
old
cool.
Man left knee.
Do you have any trouble finding the Tesla motors and Tesla batteries?
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
They crash them a lot. Don't running. They?
It doesn't take much for Tesla to consider one of their cars totaled. So yes. There is a steady stream of motors and batteries and all kinds of other components from those cars.
But one thing that you mentioned when I was down there, and we've talked about this before, is it's not all sorted out, right? This is still an evolving science and art to convert a car to electricity, isn't it?
It really is. There's just a few handfuls of people that are doing this around the planet that have been able to make a living doing it, and so we're all sharing information. This is really in the true spirit of hot rodding. We are making it up as we go. And, I like to use components that are the most dependable and trustworthy because having a business doing what we do, I hand the keys off to someone. I don't want to get a call literally down the road that something ain't working. So we stick with the same components that, other shops and other people have found to be very, very dependable. And we've had really great luck with that so far.
Do you see this business growing will there be more people converting existing gas cars to electricity?
Yeah, there is. Just in the last 5 years, there have been more shops popping up, and it's exciting. There's a couple. Well, I know for sure there's one shop in Los Angeles called Current. And these guys are like old school hot rodders. And I think they had one of their clients ask, can we take this old car and make it electric? And they just dove into it. So a lot more of that is going to be happening. It'll happen a lot quicker if more companies get involved on the component side that can, produce dependable interfaces and, you know, things for all the motors and the motor controllers and the batteries to all talk to one another. There are a few good systems out there, but we're kind of doing R&D for a lot of these companies that, you know, have something on the shelf, and we'll call them up and say, it's not working. And, you know, why is that? And well, we put this together and that together, and like, oh, nobody's done that before. We'll get back to you.
So it's an evolving yeah, science. Yeah. And you are right in the middle of it. It's kind of a cool deal. And I can tell you, I drove the 912 and it was a blast. I would, like I say, I would love to have one, given enough resources, for sure. Well, that has been our guest, David Bernardo of Zelectric. Am I saying that right?
I like to say Zelectric. That's
Zelectric. Zelectric in La Jolla, California. And David, thank you so much for coming on. And we wish you all the best as you convert the world to electricity. Thank you, David.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Great to have you.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye. Okay, that was David Bernardo. And I had a blast driving that thing. That car, it was really well engineered, and they did the interior and the exterior just right. It was fun. And I don't know, I don't have the price to convert it in front of me, but it would be worth it. I'd rather get that than, you know, you could spend that much on an electric Mercedes. You can easily spend over $100,000 right on that. And then you just have a Mercedes like everybody else.
Yeah. He gave a price for the conversion for Porsches to use the Tesla motors. It starts at 98.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's worth it.
There you go.
All right. We're moving on here. We have how much time we have left, Michelle? Well, you're good at math.
We have 20 minutes left.
All right. 20 minutes left. Michelle, you've done a little bit of research over the last week. And speaking of electric vehicles, tell us what you found.
Well, the topic of the week is what is going on with the executive orders that were issued last week, the day after inauguration. And is it possible that we're going to lose a quote unquote EV mandate? And are we going to lose our $7,500 tax credit based on the executive orders that came out? And the thing that Mark, when I brought this up, Mark initially said to me, there is no EV mandate. And it's true, there is not. And here's the thing, is that people are calling it that. But Biden in 2021 did not issue a mandate. He also issued executive orders. And one of his orders said, let's try to ensure that all new light trucks and vehicles are sold, well, 50% actually, not all, but 50% of all the cars that are sold by 2035, I believe, should be zero emission, not EV, zero emission. So it could be any kind of zero emission.
It could be hydrogen, assuming anybody figures out how to make hydrogen in any kind of a remotely efficient way, which no one has done. And my understanding of the laws of physics are, no one will ever do. But
yeah, well, there are people out there who get paid to try to do that. And we don't diminish their achievements, but this is one of those things. So what is happening? This is a mandate? No, it's not. And Joe Biden's executive order was no more of a mandate. Here's what these are. These are guidelines. These are political trial balloons. You heard that term, right? This is the situation in a political environment where you throw a bunch of spaghetti at the wall to see what will stick. That's what's happening here. Even though he says in different portions of the Unleashing America's Energy executive order that he wants to eliminate the EV mandate. First of all, it doesn't exist. But second of all, he wants to remove unfair incentives. He wants to, you know, unwind a lot of things that were done previously by the Congress, by the EPA, and also, by the way, by the tax code. And all this stuff has to be done by Congress. So what I looked into was, say, like you had funding for through one of these congressional bills under Biden, where you were getting funding to build an electric station, you know, for charging. If you already had your contract going as of January 21st and you're getting funding for it, it will continue. What will not happen, or what is in trouble, is future projects. So if you wanted to apply through the federal government for a new electric station or hydrogen charging station, they will delay and wait and see what happens. And then in the meantime, they're going to lobby Congress to cut the funding. Congress holds the scissors, not the president. This is civics. So if the funding has already been put in place by Congress, which is the where the money comes from, then Congress conversely has the only legal authority to chop it. So he can say, I want EV infrastructure funding cut. It has to go through Congress before that can actually happen. So it sounds a lot worse than it is.
But with for instance, the $7,500 federal EV buyer tax credit, that while it may remain funded for the time being with a Republican controlled majority, they're going to be able to eliminate that soon enough, right?
Yes. The process they have to go through to eliminate that is propose a revision to the tax code, right? They have to write it up in a bill. They have to pass the bill, which you're right, they'll probably be able to do. They'll get enough Republican senators to sign that bill, pass it, and then send it to the executive office that the president can sign it. And then that will go away.
And so that could happen pretty quickly, right? I mean, that's a popular thing to bash is that $7,500 EV buyer tax credit.
Yeah, and there's a couple reasons why. The big point is it seems unfair, and it seems like it's favoring the market. And one thing the Republican administration has been very clear on is they don't like market tipping. They want an equal footing for all comers in every market, not just the car market. So this is consistent. It's consistent also with their stated policy of wanting to continue supporting the oil and gas industry. So
we can subsidize oil and gas, but we can't subsidize clean air transportation.
Correct. That's what's happening. And you're right. They can act on this as soon as they want to, if the Congress wants to bring it up. But it seems to me like there's a whole lot of other things that are a lot more important for this Congress. And that's just me, but we'll see. It could happen.
It could stick around for a while. So we don't have to rush out today and get our tax credit.
No, it's still in effect. Yeah, it hasn't gone away.
And it may stick around. They might forget that it existed, you know, and in the drive to do other things that are more important, like bring the price of eggs down. That's what America needs. Free eggs for everybody.
Yes. And by the way, $2.99 at Trader Joe's. I'm surprised not everybody knows this. I guess you have to be, you know, a housewife or something.
Those are subsidized eggs, Michelle.
They must be. That's not fair. Eggs. That
they
is
have
not fair.
Chinese chickens in them.
So, having just spent $8.99 at Ralph's for my eggs. Anyway, that's what's happening. So don't panic, people, over executive orders. It's not worth it.
Okay. So okay. Things are cool.
Yes, things are fine.
I can stop freaking out.
Right. Go get your Tesla or whatever you want to get. Oh, actually,
I'm going down to Zelectric and getting me a 912.
There you go. Well, I was going to say, I think, when they first started with those incentives, you run out by manufacturer. If they sell enough vehicles, you can't get it anymore. And I think Tesla was the very first one to run out. So I don't even think those are available if you get a Tesla.
Well, see?
See? So you got to get something else, like a Kia or a Hyundai, I think. They're still in the game.
They are. They are. Yeah. You can still get away with that. All right.
All right. And probably Z Electric.
that's where my next paycheck's going. We've got one other thing I wanted to touch on here, and it has nothing to do with electric cars, really. we were talking about the Peterson earlier, and you know, Peterson's probably, I think it's the best car museum in the world. I don't know. I've been to a lot of car museums, you know, in Europe and the United States and everywhere. I think it's probably the best in the world. But a little story that I wrote and that seems to be causing a little bit of consternation is that they have these cruise-ins every month. You know, there's a Porsche cruise-in, a Shelby cruise-in, a Ferrari cruise-in. And they were, you know, everything was going along great until like a year or two ago, they started saying to these guys, like these car clubs that would participate in it, okay, you guys have to start paying $40 per car. And, you know, the car clubs were saying, yeah, we paid the $40 and we still don't get admission. Peterson says, yeah, you did get admission. It's a little bit of back and forth there.
Oh.
But so it seems like the Peterson might need to mend some fences with these car clubs that are putting these things together. So, for instance, the Ferrari Club is having an event at a different location now. Instead of doing the usual Enzo cruise-in on Enzo Ferrari's birthday, they are going to do a different event at a different location. The Shelby Club has really stopped really showing up there because they weren't happy with how things were going. I've heard from other club members dealing with the Peterson that they, you know, they weren't treated right and fairly. So there's a story at autoweek.com about that. Feel free to go there and read it and put your comments in with everybody else who says that rich guys with Ferrari shouldn't complain. So that's
well, yeah, I was going to say the Japanese, they have a Japanese cruise in and I've never heard any of my colleagues complain about it.
Yeah. I tried like crazy to find out who the Japanese cruise in organizers were, the car clubs. I couldn't find anybody. It's just that whole diaspora is just all over the place. And
yeah, there's a lot of smaller car clubs.
They're,
just,
they're all
you
over.
Know, and, like you'd know, have and, to go, you'd have the Nissan one is big. The Z owners, they have their own. It's just, right. It's really fragmented.
Right. Right.
You know,
but anyway, let's hope that they get that sorted out because those cruise-ins are a blast. They're a whole bunch of fun. Whole bunch of fun. Speaking of a whole bunch of fun.
You have a car review.
I have a car review and I did in fact drive a car. I've been driving a lot of cars lately. And this one is, you know, a lot of times they just say, here's a list of cars. Which ones do you want? And I just go this, 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 and this. So it's, there's not a lot of science involved in how I pick these particular cars. I have right now in the driveway an Audi Q8 Prestige. Now the Q8, as you remember, is the biggest and most, I don't know, prestigious. How do you gauge prestige of the Audi lineup? If you're going to buy a crossover SUV, you get yourself a Q8. And this one, I have by and large been impressed with it. It seems to be a very well screwed together, as they say. And one thing that's interesting about it. Okay, first of all, if you're going to get a Q8, there are basically three model lines of Q8. There's the entry one, which is just called Q8. There's the SQ8, which gets more horsepower and some snazzy looking stuff, so it looks a little cooler. And then there's the RSQ8 Performance, which is a heck of a car. We'll get to that in a second. The base Q8 starts at about 75 grand. The SQ8 is a little under 100 grand. And the RSQ8 is 136,200 before they do the delivery and all that other stuff on it. So this is an interesting thing to look at. Now, if you look at it from that point of view, you think, that's a lot of money. Why should I pay that money? Well, here's one way you might look at it. It's still the cheapest by far of its Volkswagen platform mates. So this sits on the same platform as the Porsche Cayenne, the Bentley Bentayga, and the Lamborghini Urus, U-R-U-S, however you want to pronounce that.
Yeah, be careful.
Our Italian and Spanish-speaking friends perhaps could chime in on that. Urus is how I say it. But it's on the same platform. So if you want to save a bunch of money, because you look at a Lamborghini Urus, and that's, you know, $250,000. Porsche Cayenne, of course, is less expensive than that. But Bentley Bentayga, that's also up in the $250,000 arena. And you can get a Q8 which is, I mean, you could argue it's the same thing, which is a vast oversimplification, but you could get that for starting at about $75,000. So I don't know, just, you know, go put some Lamborghini badges on your Audi Q8. No one will know. No, we are not recommending vandalizing your car here on the car show, but you're getting the kind of that kind of performance for less than half the price. Now, the Q8 that I have you driven a Q8, Michelle?
No, I haven't. I've had some bigger Audis and the EV, the e-tron.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is not an electric anything. This is just internal combustion, and it is a darn good internal combustion at that. Let's see. The one that I have is a 3-liter V6 that makes 335 horsepower, 369 pound-feet of torque. And that's, you know, the car has a curb weight of just under 5,000 pounds. So, you know, you're not getting a whole lot of performance. But if you step up a little bit, you can, like if you get the SQ8, has a twin turbo V8 that is making, let's see here, 500 horsepower and has all those snazzy trim items. And it weighs 5,280 pounds. And then you step up all the way to the RSQ8, and you're looking at 631 horsepower, 32 valves in the heads of your twin turbo V8. And it only weighs just under 5,500 pounds. But the price starts at $136,200. That's a lot of numbers to swallow, but by golly, it's a good car. I enjoy it. But again, so many times when we're reviewing cars here, it's not anything that we'll ever be able to afford. So we're looking at it almost in a theoretical way. But, you know, Audi Q8, it does a job. It gets you where you need to go, right?
What's the prestige? Is that a trim level?
Yeah, it's just they load it up with various options and whatever you can get away with, you'll have there. So it's not the base entry level. I think it's like about 84 grand, if I'm not mistaken. Uh-huh. So it's 10 grand more. I tend to think you probably don't need that stuff, but I mean, like the audio system in mine is the Prestige, and the audio system in it has 1,920 watts blasting through 23 speakers. In the Whoa. Bang and Olufsen.
Of course.
Well, actually, that's Swedish, isn't it? So it's not
und. Yes.
Bang
yes.
and whatever and bang is. Und, Swedish. Und. Yeah. So anyway, it's good. It's got those little tweeters that rise up out of the dashboard.
Those are cool. Yeah.
Those are cool. That's a good
I always liked it in the Volvos. Yeah. So, and what about your tech in there? Did you find that the tech was relatively easy to manage?
Yeah, for the most part, yes, it is. I'm not one who really gets too far into that. I tend to look at cars more as how they drive, whether you can fit in them, all this other stuff. So I'm not one of those overly technically interested people. But you know, it's nonetheless it's perfectly acceptable. And the interior was quite comfortable. I enjoyed it. It's easy to get in and out of. Unlike that Mercedes that I had, the Geländewagen that I had last week, it's hard to get in and out of that. It's not as hard as like an Alfa Romeo 4C or something, but it was not easy. I think you have to be in good shape and limber, you know, either doing a lot of yoga or something.
You're talking about that Alfa, the 4C?
Oh, that was when you get into that car, that thing drives like nothing else. It's like you're tattooed on the road, and you just feel everything. The steering is just alive. It's the only thing that felt that good to me was the Lotus, the original Lotus Elise. I remember the first time I drove that. That was like otherworldly. That was ethereal, and I don't throw that word around.
No, you don't. And why don't they? Word. You know how they say all the models in the lineup of Lotus start with E. Why don't they come up with an ethereal?
Evidentiary, elusive.
Ooh,
yeah, there's a lot of E's in there. I have said this before. I think it's time for Lotus to move on from the E's
to F.
It's F. That's a softball you're pitching at us. But anyway, let's move for another look at another car. Did you ever drive the BMW M8 Coupe?
No, I did not. Did you?
I did, and I got to drive it a fair amount here and there. And I remember I was there. I was present when the first 850i came out over in Europe. That was in the 80s, and it's always just been this really cool, heavy-duty Autobahn missile kind of car. Well, sad news, BMW is no longer accepting orders for the M8 Coupe in 2025. It says that the M8 Grand Coupe, M8 Convertible, and the rest of the 8 Series lineup are unaffected by this decision. So it's just the M8 Coupe. Now, that's the one that I like. I like the M8 Coupe.
Don't you hate that?
Again, not going to be an actual problem for me, but I can still feign.
You could still, you can feign outrage and clutch your pearls all you want.
Yeah. The M8 Coupe has been in the United States since its 2020 model year. Now, I got to drive it, like I said, a couple of times. I was at BMW has an event for the press here in, and they have been doing it at Thermal. I think this year they did it back on the East Coast. They didn't go to that one, but the last one that they had here at the Thermal Motorsports, I think it's called just the Thermal Club, but there's a racetrack out in the desert, and it was pouring down rain.
I mean,
it was just crazy. I mean, there were rivers running across the track. And I that didn't stop him. And I like that about BMW. You know, some car companies would, as you say, would clutch their pearls and flee. But BMW just said, yeah, just keep going. I just don't hit anything. And so we drove a bunch of cars, you know, M3s, M4s, various, I think an M2, all kinds of different cars on the track. And the one that I liked the best by far, it handled the best. It was able to go through these rivers was the M8 Coupe. It was amazing. And I don't know what is wrong with, why aren't people buying them?
Well, what do they cost?
Oh, well, that's, they probably cost a lot of money.
Yeah. So there you go. They probably weren't selling a lot.
It's probably six figures.
Yeah. And a lot of horsepower. And
of course I didn't put that in. And probably, there's nothing in the notes.
Terrible on gas, and so
probably
they
have a 4.4 liter twin turbo V8 that makes 617 horsepower if you put it in competition, guys. But you know, I also had that car driving back from the Monterey Car Week about 2 years ago. And once you figure out, you have to program in the exact kind of setup that you want on it. You can do that. This day I pulled over and did it when I got to this really good section of Highway 58. And those of us who like cars will know that it did splendidly there. And we are going to have to put a plug in it.
Oh, that's about, it for the
about
week.
About this part of the show. We encourage you to stick around for Rhapsody. Now, is it Rhapsody in Black?
Yes.
With Jay Dawson. And we want to thank Wendell and Master Control for doing a superb job. And I want to thank Michelle Spencer, my co-host. And we will see you guys right here next week on The Car Show.
Join listener-supported KPFK. Call now, 818-985-5735.
Support comes from UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance, presenting Jerome Ellis on February 22nd at the Nimoy. The globally acclaimed Grenadian-Jamaican-American artist examines stuttering, justice, blackness, disabled speech, and divinity in this arresting reflection on the human experience. Tickets at cap.ucla.edu.
You know, maybe $75 is the right amount for you to give to KPFK. That $75 comes out to exactly 21 cents a day. And that pays for a lot of programming on KPFK. Hours of intelligent news every day on Democracy Now! And local news, local politics and culture from Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. Entertaining, thoughtful shows like The Global Village, The Car Show, and Pacifica Performance Showcase. Your support makes them all possible, which is why KPFK needs your contribution right now. Tom Hartman here, reminding you that your contribution of $75 helps pay for programs that make KPFK